This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
I have a jazz trumpeter in the house. And of course, I'm not going to tell you who. I'm going to play you the music. So I have a jazz trumpeter who's in the house. And what generally happens here on Power Perspective is every time I have a musician of note here, somebody who is in here and we are talking deep music and jazz and, you know, all of these things, somebody who's generally traveling in a car, you can hear, will call in and say, hey, you know, like, it's me, you know, and they will have a chat and it would be awesome. And then I worked out that the individual always listens to Power Perspective because every time there is a musician here, the person would call in and engage. And I really appreciated that until about 2-3 weeks ago when I said, okay, you know what? We're bringing you into studio and here we are. And this is who I have in studio today. 14 minutes past 9 o'clock. Moss Seokwane is here. Seokwane is in studio. And of course, he's brought a partner with him, the beautiful Rofilwe. And yeah, you know, I mean, couldn't have left her at home. Moss, welcome to Power 98.7.
Good evening to you, friend.
That's what happens.
And to all listeners, of course.
Yes, that's what happens.
Well, how can I forget friends out there?
Yeah.
You know, I prepared them and I said, you know, for the first time in a long time, I'm going to be on radio.
Yeah.
Not just on radio.
And not just on radio. Power 98.7.
Power 98, the most powerful, powerful pioneered radio station.
And you always listen. You listen to
power is my station. Home because I believe in power. So here am I.
Sankomot.
Yes.
Here you are.
Hey. Mm. Sankomot.
Yeah.
Mm.
When did you join? Let's start there. When did you join?
This is where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
Three institutions that actually happened.
Mm.
Tulwane High, where I, you know, got this corporal punishment, you know. I used to make a lot of noise in my classroom.
Yeah.
And my teachers would say, hey, man, we are on a science class, not a musical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then from there, you've got a grandmother that will actually go and scream at you on Sunday and say, wake up, you have to go to church.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I got my comfort.
Yeah.
Lutheran church. I mean, that's where I started singing, playing trumpet and so on.
Okay.
So in 1992, actually, I walked down to Johannesburg. And I met a guy called Nana Coyote, Mutijani Coyote. And may his soul rest in peace. You know, as I thought.
Brilliant as well.
Good singer.
Yeah.
You know, as I thought, I'm in the right space of the industry.
Let me check. Jim, let me just check on my headspace. Was he from Lesotho?
Nana was from the Vaal.
Yeah.
And Sankomota, but they had this, Simela and Sankomota had this.
Yeah.
Family kind of love relationship,
okay.
You know, that they built.
Yeah.
It was just one big family.
Yeah.
Sankomota, Bayede, and Stimela were just one.
Mm.
Yeah. So now, Nana, I remember I met him somewhere in the elevator and he said to me, what do you have in there? And I said, I have a trumpet. He said, what do you do with this thing? And I said, I have a trumpet. I play trumpet. You know, you must get it. And he said, Oh, no, it's Timela, we don't use this. But there's a group rehearsing just next door.
Yeah.
At that time, and he took me there. That's when I got these guys, they were serious with their music. And there was this guy with a big head, ears away from the head, Frank Leber with a big voice.
Yeah.
Then
the captain.
The captain. And Nana left me there. You know, I was puzzled, quite scared because I was from Jericho. Rural home.
Yeah, Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Putatswana there.
Yeah.
Now, Frank, you know, I think they were playing, I remember they were playing Monwana, you know.
Mm.
There comes a part whereby you have to play a solo with your trumpet. I think it was my hijacked audition, so I had to get a lift and just play. Oh, my God. You know, I got kicked out three times. Actually, I was hired at that on that minute, and I was fired with immediate effect, and I got kicked out three times.
Mm.
Ask me how.
I'm asking you how.
After he actually kicked me out of his rehearsal room, I went there.
Yeah.
I went there the following day.
What was the reason for the kicking out?
Because I couldn't play the trumpet.
Okay. I needed you to say that.
Yeah.
Right. You couldn't play the trumpet.
It was squeaking. Notes were off, and everybody was laughing at me.
Right.
And I got kicked out, literally get out of my
But did you think you were good and you thought, these guys are just posh?
You know, as a believer in God, I actually trusted in God that he will save me on this one. But unfortunately, he turned his back against me.
Okay.
So,
it's good to know when you defeated.
Yeah, no. And then he said to me, go out, I don't want to see you ever again. And I went back the following day with the same trumpet and he said, Eamon, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Jericho. He said, you know, people from Jericho died long time ago. I think you are the only one left.
The Bible.
I said, no, Jericho from Brad's book. That's what I said. I don't understand. What are you saying to me? Please never come back here.
Mm.
And I went the next day without a trumpet this time.
Yeah.
Then he says to me,
What were you offering when you went without a trumpet now? Now what were you offering?
I think
because in the beginning you were offering a trumpet. You were offering a musical instrument. Now you're here with nothing. What were you offering?
Nothing. I just wanted to be part of these guys, and they just didn't want me to be part of them.
Mm.
And he says to me, do you know why I like you?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know now. As I get excited thinking that, you know, I'm going to get an opportunity.
This is Frank.
This is Frank.
Mm.
He says, I like you because you are stupid.
Mm.
And I'm like, this guy, is he for real?
Yeah.
You don't listen. I said, I don't want to see you ever again.
Mm.
So as I go, I took that trumpet the following day, go back there. He says to me, okay, fine. I'm going to give you a chance.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to Kenya with my band. We have a live show there happening there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You have enough time to actually rehearse.
And the band is now Sankomoto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now Sankomoto.
Yeah.
No. It was not Sankomoto then. It was still
Uhuru.
But
okay. It was changing.
It was that transition then. Yes.
Okay.
Now, as... as I come back after 3 weeks, fast forward, there was Hugh Masekela there. Then I decided, you know what, I'm picking my bag, I'm leaving, I don't want to come back here.
Because he has the maestro now.
You are talking Hugh Masekela, so you are literally showing me, you know.
Yeah.
And then he says to me, now, okay, take a solo again. And I said, no, I'm fine. Then Brayu started blowing his horn.
Yeah.
Then I took my bag. I left the rehearsal room without even saying goodbye. And he said, hey, buddy, come back here.
Mm.
Then I went back. And you said, I think the best thing that you should do for this young man.
Mm.
And I really thank Brayu. He said,
how old were you, Moss?
I was 18.
Mm.
And then he said to me, please teach this young man, because I learned the trumpet from the age of 12.
Yeah.
So I think you can actually give him some time. And, you know, since that day, Frank actually take his time, started giving me note by note. Now I became a better trumpet player, a junior a trumpet player.
Yeah.
My first gig, now this is where the most interesting story comes in. My first gig was in United Kingdom in London.
Mm.
Mandela traveled, it was released in 1990. 1993, went to see KK, Kaunda.
Yeah.
Then we traveled to London. No, we traveled to Cape Town. Our first gig was in Cape Town.
Mm.
And then we were kicked out. We were sent back to Lesotho.
Mm.
As we were in Lesotho, Chris Hani facilitated a trip for us to go to, because he was exiled in Lesotho.
Mm.
He did a lot of work on Sankomoto music, actually. He contributed a lot, you know. Songs
Chris
like,
Hani?
Yes, Chris.
Wow. Okay.
Songs like Stop the War, you know, House on Fire,
and
Exploration, A New Face.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know what, Sankomoto has got a political history, and it's got the music that actually gives in when it comes to the liberation of South Africans.
Yeah. In fact, the first time Sankomoto was kicked out was because of the kind of expressions that were being made, the kind of language that was being spoken, the kind of resistance. I think Sankomoto was beginning to make freedom music.
And the word Uhuru, independence, was, I think it's the one that actually raised a lot of alarm.
Yeah.
A high volume of alarm. So Frank, then we're actually escorted from Cape Town. We went back to Lesotho until Chris started talking to President Mugabe.
Mm.
We flew via Zimbabwe to go to London.
Mm.
As we were in London, we received a call that we have to perform for Queen Elizabeth and Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela.
Yeah.
And for some odd reason, we were just sitting there working on a song called Stop the War.
Yeah.
Boom. Some stretch of motor vehicles, a fleet of motor vehicles, you know, high royal. We picked up, we went to the palace, and then we performed for Nelson Mandela. For the first time when I met that old man, I think it was on stage when he was dancing for Stop the War.
Mm.
And then he actually declared Sankomoto a band that was going to rally behind his presidency.
Wow.
For the elections.
Yeah.
And then boom, we came down. Remember at that time, Inkatha and ANC were actually at loggerheads.
It was the political.
Stop the War was the most appropriate song.
Mm.
Tshepo was the one vocal guy who actually was volume high enough, with a high volume enough to actually send a message, stop the war. And then we landed in South Africa as Sangomota.
Stop the War and House on Fire.
Yeah.
It was almost on repeat during that particular time on radio stations.
Yes.
People had cassettes.
Yes.
People had cassettes and, you know, of course, there were the record players, right?
Yeah.
But that's how you could get the music. Those two songs were almost on repeat, playing
because,
all the time.
Because we really played a major role. I remember we had a Kopano Stadium. It was Sangomota, Yvonne, Brenda Fassie around that time. And, you know, Mandela went to negotiate with Buthelezi to form some, you know, sort
a pact of
peace.
Of some sort, yeah.
Yes. And when we were on stage, I remember those guys were actually throwing away tools. It was painful because people were dying. You know, as you see, I'm always crying because I remember that period whereby, you know, what again?
I was a young journalist at that time. Yeah. I was getting into journalism at that time, 1994. Yeah.
Many journalists actually died. Yeah, I don't know. How did you survive? How did you get it right? Eh?
I don't know. I'm writing a book.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to talk a lot about the political space of that time as well. But also, you know, as I reflect on that particular space, I'm picking up your reflection from a musical perspective, talking about engagements with Chris Hani, talking about the Mandela influence and the fact that Lesotho could allow you to say what you wanted to say because it was Lesotho and it wasn't within the country.
Yeah.
If you were within the country, you would have been dealt with a lot more differently, I think, if you were like part of the establishment that was being engaged here.
Yeah. Look, Denzel, God is there. God is alive. You know, during the Inkatha and the ANC era, you know, their fight, everything was just, the world was coming to an end. Because we couldn't even know and understand as to how are we going to deal with this matter and how are we supposed to be the ones to be elected, to go to be appointed to stop that war. And that war stopped. As soon as Tshepo started making noise, that war stopped. Political leaders, the list is endless. All we got to do is stop the war. And that war stopped with immediate effect. And there was peace between Nelson Mandela and
the ANC and Inkatha.
ANC and Inkatha. And unfortunately, we lost Chris in 1993, who was one of our cadres and a leader around that time because he inspired us through Sangomota music. He actually wrote the lyrics on House on Fire. House on Fire, it's about, you know, white people killing black people, you know, but you know, as the lyrics were actually not coming out clear because...
Let's listen to House on Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's listen to just a little bit of that.
Of course.
Just as you talk to it, that people can relate a little bit to it.
Yeah, it's merely about, you know, black people hiding. I mean, if you remember, South Africans were hiding in a number of neighboring countries. Your Zambia, Mozambique, Lusaka, Lesotho, and many others. You know, the SADC regions. I mean, that's where all of us were hiding.
Exile was happening.
Yes, exile. They were exilists. So Chris actually contributed a lot, and he said, you know, Frank, here's a story that we come up with. And remember, Lesotho were colonized countries and so on. I mean, and now Frank Leepa's father was one of the politicians that fought for the liberation of this country. And Frank sent the message through music. Unfortunately, Frank's father was killed in parliament because of actually trying to put Africa. That's why there's a song that is called Africa Shall Unite on that one.
Yeah.
It's on After the Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Frank started writing music behind the history of Lesotho, Africans, where they come from, the Moshoeshoes, how do they relate with the Botswanas and so on, Zilikazis and all that historical music that was coming from behind.
Let me ask you this particular question. The essence of Sangomota, if, I mean, you know, within that historical context, within that particular time, the essence of Sankomoto and what was going on, what do you think it was? Because it was beyond music.
Yeah.
It was beyond politics. It was beyond, you know, even the way some of the lyrics were written. It was, you'd find, even in the same sentence,
yeah,
you'd find different languages that would combine and mix, and it was music. But what was, according to you, the essence of Sankomoto?
Black people living in a wealthy land that has got so much minerals, and they got robbed by white people.
Mm.
And white people got away with it. Mm. At the time of their arrival here, and, you know, some had to run away from their home, from their own wealth,
mm,
to go and hide elsewhere. That's what Sankomoto's music is all about.
Mm.
You know, Now or Never explains it all. Uphuthile mazoho, ushebile banna ha ba sebetsa. You know, it was that kind of difficulties that a black man has to face, you know, watching someone working and making so much wealth for themselves, while black people could not actually afford to do so. Of course, the message is a little bit heavy, but it goes direct to that.
Let's listen to it now or never. Africa. Kale uri sihai, tamayado ipatela sabo pilo tuwa uike tete.
To Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor, 8 p.m. to midnight.
It's 26 minutes to the top of the hour. Sankomoto is in the house. Morsi Okane is also my guest, of course, and we are talking about Sankomoto, the early days. And then 1996.
Yeah.
And that just devastating.
Yeah. Another accident.
Yeah.
I lost musicians. We were traveling to Cape Town, actually, and we just had this terrible accident.
Mm.
As to how it happened, I have an idea, because I ended up in ICU. Mm. The truck, and a very, you know, when they say it's time for you to leave this world and go and live on the other side of the world, when the time has arrived, it has arrived.
Mm.
We passed this truck.
Mm.
As we pass it, after the Ultra City in Bloemfontein,
mm.
there was an engine garage on the left at Springfontein.
Mm.
One of the band members, Keith Mazzella, was arguing to say, hey, I want coffee right now because we had missed the flight.
Mm.
Now, the driver decided to make a U-turn to actually, without even checking his mirrors. Then the truck bumped on us. It pushed at about 72 meters away from the impact.
Mm.
Four members died there, and the others actually followed as we were in our hospital.
Mm.
Yeah, it was bad.
Mm.
You know, it was very bad.
What kind of mark does that leave you, losing key members of the organization?
We were a 12-piece band. Others died as... No, we were actually a 16-piece band.
Mm.
Others actually followed afterwards.
Yeah.
We were one big, fat family. We were inseparable.
Mm.
We were so united. We were big.
Mm.
We traveled the world together. We've done everything together.
Mm.
You know, it was just a home.
Mm.
I survived the accident. Those people died.
Yeah.
I lost.
You were the only one.
Yeah. It was kind of, I tried to take it easy.
Mm.
And I think the Lord has allowed me to do so for some time.
Mm.
But as I actually grow with it,
mm.
it became very, very traumatizing.
Because
now I remember exactly what happened. Every day at the time, it was very difficult to live with that. Because I remember the other one, his head was cracked and the brains were out.
Mm.
And I was the only one. All the bodies were actually on top of me when they cut that kumbi. So it was bad. It was really traumatizing.
Mm.
And I'm still living with that. It keeps on attacking me all the time, every time I remember them.
Let's go to a moment. Let's go to a moment of joy. Something massive in Sonkomoto's time.
Yeah.
1983. The album Sonkomoto.
Yeah.
And that is massive. And Sonkomoto arrives on the scene. And the storyline goes is that couldn't record in South Africa, banned in South Africa, barred back to Lesotho. Because of all of that, times are hard. Lesotho is small, no recording studios, basically. And then there's this mobile, Shifty Records, tapping into, what was it, the radio station at the time. Was it Lesotho Radio?
Yeah.
Camping in this particular mobile unit and putting a record together, which would have been called Sonkomoto.
The biggest broadcasting corporation actually happened. I'm not going to mention the name. And I think it worked for them then.
Mm.
Because Frank was made popular by Chris and his father.
Mm.
So they got that little connection to actually get an opportunity to use that studio in the broadcasting corporation to actually get that music done. But if you listen to the quality of music, it was not really giving it out. But at that time, it was a big thing actually to record.
My understanding is this, Mos. It was the first recorded LP in Lesotho.
Yes.
It says it on the LP.
Yes.
It says it.
Yeah.
This is the first recorded LP in Lesotho.
Yeah. I wish Frank was still alive. He would actually narrate it
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Wow.
Hold on.
You are unbelievable, but I believe you, eh?
Hold on. And it says, at the back, it says, this collection of songs was recorded on location in Lesotho by Shifty Mobile Studios.
Yes.
As Lesotho is not blessed with any music recording facilities of its own, this is, to my best knowledge, the first LP ever to have been produced in Lesotho.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sonkomoto.
They had the master tape. I remember Frank told me they had a master tape done in Lesotho, but the quality was not actually that firm. Now, it was... Wow. Look at these guys. These are the original Phase 1 members of Sonkomoto.
Yeah.
No Tsepo Tsula.
Yeah.
No Moses Sogani, no Budaza, no anyone else. Mm. Just these four guys. It was Pito Serra, Frank Lepa, and Mos Ngov. Mos was on drums. Mm. So you can imagine how empty that band is. Mm. But they managed to get it right because, Frank was a very great Mbatanga writer. Mm. So he had to play with his string to represent the keyboard.
Do you have that album?
I do, but I don't have an LP.
No, do you have that particular album?
No, I
look,
no,
you don't
man.
Have a record player.
Why are you doing this to me?
You don't have a record player.
This man...
You can get a record player. Do you have that particular LP?
It's discontinued.
You can't find it.
You're not gonna get it. This is a collector's item.
It's yours now.
Thank you very much. Wow.
It's yours now.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
No. It's I think that I've had it with me.
Wow.
I've had it with me. It's in pristine condition.
Yes. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, I was still at preschool. I was beaten up every day, to go to school. Eh?
Mm.
Yeah.
I've had that long enough in my collection for you to have it now and pass it on to your generation. I think it's time.
I think I'm going to talk to my chief at home there to give you a piece of land.
I think you should.
Yeah. Whereby you can plow some millimil there and so on and, you know.
Come in and build a little nkuku there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Thank you very much.
No, it's yours.
Hey, stay blessed. Well, love, coming here. You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's continue the interview. Anyway.
Let's continue with the interview. But I wanted you to.
Wow.
I have a vast collection.
I am so honored. I feel so honored. So that I'm so grateful.
I first Googled how you can get it, and you can't get it.
Yeah.
You can't get that anymore.
Not anyway.
Yeah. 1983, first album. Lesotho's first album ever. And I just thought that somebody from Sankomboto should have it. And it's the privilege is yours. Let's talk about your time then.
I think I couldn't have received this over the phone, right?
No.
Phone interview, right?
No.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have.
Thank you for allowing me to come here.
Yeah. what is the all these years later when you look back?
Yeah.
What is your biggest takeaway from spending time with musical giants? I mean, though there were musical giants in that particular band.
I was a friend to many of them.
Mm.
I was the baby in the music industry.
Mm.
I was the generation after the. The 50-year-olds and so on.
Mm.
I was a baby. At some stage, they called me Baby Mo because, I was the youngest of them all.
Mm.
I met Brahu at a very tender age. I shared stage with Brahu at a very tender age. I mean, we had a tour.
But Master, what I'm picking up also is that you would have engaged giants in the industry. You talk about Brahu, and just bumping into Brahu. You talk about Chrisani at the time. You talk about all of these others. There was Black Jesus in the band as well.
DJ.
And you speak so fondly and friendly of them, but you were privileged. You were absolutely privileged to have been in the company of those people at that time.
Having asked Yvonne after the accident, Yvonne Chaka Chaka, to fetch me at the hospital in her luxury vehicles, I mean, 1996, a limousine was a day thing, having Brasipo Mavuse on your side.
Yeah.
Getting to be on stage. I remember we used to argue a lot with Ringo. Ringo was a friend. I mean, he was once a baking artist, Sangomota baking artist. And then he did his Sondela album, which was a hit.
Mm.
And then we had a tour, actually, after the Sangomota accident. We traveled everywhere just for him to support us.
Mm.
And, having to live with Bobra Gwangwa, Jonas Gwangwa, when you wake up in the morning and you go to the rehearsal room and you get Bra Gwangwa and he say, yeah, when I'm going to go and buy me a cup of coffee. It's like talking to Nelson Mandela sending you to the shops, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, having Hugh Masekela saying, yeah, when I'm going to go into my car and fetch me my trumpet.
Yeah. And it would be an honor, man.
Hello.
It was an honor.
You are from Jericho, yeah. By the way. Jericho. Yeah. Jericho, it's, I don't know how many yeah. places that are so rural that they have to pass before you get to Joburg.
To Jericho.
From Jericho to Joburg.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a great honor. It was a great honor. And thanks to my church. I mean, if it wasn't for my church, they gave me the beginner's course to learn a trumpet, Jericho Lutheran Church. I was at some stage telling them that now today I can be the chairperson of the diocese because now I'm a professional musician. So now I have to take over. And they were like, no. We have protocol. It doesn't work like that. And I'm like, you don't know.
Let's talk about Jericho, Mosh.
Yeah.
You've given back.
Yes.
I mean, you became the musical institution through Sanko Mota and the music you produced.
Yeah.
But you haven't forgotten that Jericho is where you come from.
Of course.
So even in the entrepreneurship, in the business space that you now, you know, engage in, it's also about the rural community and upliftment and assisting and helping.
Sanko Mota is a brand that belongs to Lesotho, right? I put it in Jericho, the legacy. I built a restaurant called Villa di Sanko Mota in Jericho because, you know, Frank always had this thing of saying, you know, I don't think moving forward you'll remain a musician. You are this, you know, wapapa because we're again, you know.
Yeah.
You engage with this one, the following day is this one, the next thing we are eating. Because I used to make plans, you know, to raise money there.
You were that guy.
For the band. Yeah, I was that guy. And then he said to me, one day you'll own a hotel. Little did I know that, yeah, he was actually giving me an blessing in advance to say, one day you'll be this entrepreneur. Because we had McDonald's. My wife and I had McDonald's. I partnered with another lady in Soweto. And then we started building that restaurant in Jericho. And then we started actually, you know, employing people from home. Started working. And I've done a lot. I mean, we've taken kids to school. We have bought shoes for children. We contributed both church to the poor, of the poorest. We actually gave. And then we supported a lot of programs that were done by, you know, your, one of these charity organizations. There were a group of boys in Jericho, you know, the Paul Gubus, the Matabes, you know, the United, and they started saying, Brahmos, please assist us to actually give handouts. And that was our dream actually came true.
Rufilwe, I'm going to bring you in. He speaks of our dream actually coming through. You're part of that dream.
Definitely.
And you're part of the business empire, the entrepreneurship that's being built around all of this.
Yes.
How do you work with the Sonko Mota part of it and the entrepreneur businessman part of it? You know, when he pulls the Sonko Mota thing on you, like, hey, don't forget, you know, I'm from there, you know.
Yes.
When he pulls that stunt, how do you react?
Look, I think a part of me also grew up loving music.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we met, one of our thing was music.
Yeah.
And he would be taken back by the fact that I was so in tuned with, you know, the oldies and, you know, the kind of music that I would listen to is not, you know, the kind of music that my peers were listening to, you know. And that's how we bonded. You know, we would sit, I think around that time when I met him, Joburg was a bit for me. Yeah. So I really liked, you know, going to the village. Would literally sit in a bonfire at his home and literally watch the stars. And he would start taking out the trumpet and he would just sing.
He has a romantic side.
Definitely.
Oh, wow.
Definitely. Mm.
But you know, the funny part is I never took her to the restaurant for the first date.
Yeah.
We dated at my house on that bonfire. I remember there was no electricity.
Yeah.
Load shedding is a new thing.
We
had already experienced that. So my wife and I would sit on the bonfire and I'd say, this is our date. So we would eat the thing and the chicken, you know, the runaway, the hot body, the arrival life.
I got you. They arrive alive.
Yeah. Look, that was our date.
Sankomota is part of our family. Yeah. I mean, even our kids.
Well, you can't ignore it. It's there.
No, we can't. Yeah, you can't, we can't ignore it.
The reason he's here is not, I invited him here, it's not because he's this businessman, you know, in Jericho. It's because Sankomota happened with him.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's a wine thing.
Yes.
Tell me about that, and then I'm going to engage him about that.
Yes.
Because I don't see Villa de Rafilwe on the wine. I see Villa de Sankomota.
Like I said, it has become part of our family, you know, down through to our kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think through his love of music, everywhere, any second, any minute. And I mean, we've got... five kids, four girls and a boy.
Yeah.
So we have a choir.
Okay.
And they take after
building
him.
Building a band.
Because whenever, whether we're...
Building a band.
Yeah. Mm. Whether we're with family, with friends, there's always that moment where he slips in and, you know, he plays something, especially Now or Never is, you know, is the song, is the theme song in our family. And okay, with the wine, COVID.
Mm.
Being stuck together, not knowing what to do, nowhere to go, restrictions everywhere. We just decided, you know what? We love wine. We are wine connoisseurs. We love wine. Then we just decided, how about? And we just moved with it.
How about?
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah. And you've okay, just tell me of the collection. I've got three here, right? And very different.
Yeah.
Just tell me... more about the kind of range that you have.
It's a Pinotage.
Yeah.
I always loved Pinotage, and that's where we started. We've got this friend of ours who actually introduced us to this farm, and we started doing deals telephonically then. The deal was already on the table, but, you know, COVID happened. So we're like planning. If you look at that one, it's 2023. It represents the 2020. We still want to bring the 2020 because we've got it in the jug. And then we have the 2015, which is actually matured. If you taste that one, it's a real deal.
The Vintage Reserve.
Yes. I call it the Vintage Reserve because it's old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Chenin Blanc. It's my thing. It tastes different from any of your Chardonnays, your Sauvignon Blanc, your Chenin Blanc that you would know.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that delayed us, we were supposed to be doing the shelves, the only thing that delayed us was to get a code, one, two, to get the distribution license because we didn't want to take it to the streets. Then we waited. Fortunately, now recently, we received a call to say now you can actually move and go to your macros and distribute.
Let's move on a little bit. I'm going to go to Jericho. Is it Jodeci or
Jodeci?
Jodeci. Jodeci, can you hear me?
Denzel, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. What a nice interview, man.
Well, you know, Moss has got the mic, so you can speak directly to him. And you're in Jericho.
Sankomota, Jodeci.
Yeah. Leadership.
Keep up the good work.
But, thank you.
Yeah, that's one thing you never told Denzel about.
Yeah.
At the funerals, man, when he sings Hulukile of Sepotula, you know, people even cry when he sings the song at the funerals.
Yeah.
You can invite him.
I can't invite him to my funeral. I mean, I wouldn't be able to.
nice interview, Denzel, and tomorrow will be Jericho. Come with that album.
He's bringing it back. It's his now.
Yeah. He must come. He must see it, and so stop the good work, man.
No, look, and I have to come because there's apparently a piece of land that I've got there now. So I have to make this trip.
That's why I wanted to go. Sankomota, you can have fun with Denzel, but don't sell our land.
You know, Jodeci, the reason why I put my neck on the blog, it is because I've received the most amazing sentimental gift of all time. I mean, this thing is worth more than what we are talking about right now. So, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And my friend, you know you are my friend. We're going to meet there, right? Yeah, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Cheers, man.
You can have a small Anyana pub tavern somewhere in Jericho, and you're having a small Anyana restaurant. He'll come and support you. He'll bring his wine and he'll come and support you. He'll never say no. There's a small small boy somewhere doing what, but he'll come and support you.
Thank you. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. How does the music expand? How does the music grow? How do we get what's been recorded? What's there? Bigger, broader, out there. You know, there's so many platforms today to engage with. Are you engaging in any of that? You know, just to still work that particular space, the musical space. You know, the issues of royalties and the likes and you know, how are you involved in that particular space, have you just written it off and you know it was a time in your life?
The property belongs to the Leopas family.
Yeah.
You know, when Frank passed on, the music royalties goes to the family.
Mm.
It's back then we were not registered for UIFs and things like that. Mm. You know, you were just a musician, perform, get your money and leave. But the legacy is the one that you carry.
Brilliant.
Yeah. My royalties are my, you know, the Leopas said, you know, we love what you do.
Yeah.
Because I know... Every time people see Sangomota, it's a gain for them.
Mm.
You know, the restaurant called Sangomota, it's a gain for them.
Mm.
It actually takes them back to say, you know, let's listen to music.
Yeah.
The music itself. And it will be played on radio. It's royalties for the Leopards, but it's legacy for me.
And that. Let's go to Donald. Let's go to Donald in Jericho. Donald?
Yeah, it's Donald Chipe from Lohunyani. It's a neighboring village.
A neighboring village.
Yes.
Sure, Donald.
Sangomota.
Yeah.
Look, I just want to say a few words. One, he's a good man.
Yeah.
I mean, he played at my wedding for free. I mean, I'm a friend. I took advantage of that.
Yeah.
And one thing I just want to challenge him on is, look, I understand the whole history around Sangomota as a band and all that.
Yeah.
But I just want to challenge him. Why doesn't he actually pursue this whole music thing? And actually, the last time, I mean, you're turning 50 next year, Sangomota.
Mm.
Just, you know, a single or just an album to say, look, this is, you know, my contribution towards music, an individual effort.
Donald. There's the question.
Brahiu Masikela died at the age of 70 with grey hairs.
Yeah.
He never had time for family. You know, the minute you start saying, let me just do something that will actually put me in the map, it's now you are away.
Yeah.
You are away. Look, we're living in the lives of young generations. We really want to give them that music to understand. But it's, you know, people are moving with times. Stimela tried. Bayete tried.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work.
But the other thing is, you know, I think I understand what you're saying, Moss, in the sense of there was Sangomota.
Yeah.
We gave it to you.
Yeah.
We did what we needed to do. And if you went and did a singularly thing, you would take yourself out of the historical context of what's already been delivered and so nicely delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 12-piece band. When I have time, I put them together. We perform for people at my restaurant, and that's it. That's how far I would go. You know, studio work, it's a lot of work.
Mm.
You know, putting up a song, I can put up a number of songs. Trust me, I can produce good music.
Yeah.
I'd rather get young generations to come to me and say, we want to do this genre.
Yeah.
You know, let's try.
Would the answer then be maybe a record label? Would maybe that be, you know, when you talk about promoting young and getting them out there, would that maybe be the answer?
I think that would be the better way of dealing with issues instead of actually going all out there. Because I know myself, I'm a perfectionist. If I can release a song, then that means I'll be in demand.
Mm.
I don't want that. I have a beautiful, beautiful wife with beautiful kids. I really need to give them that time and space. I'd rather be behind the scenes than having to be in the public.
Mm. How do you deal with the legacy of Sangomota? You know, I mean, just in essence of it was there, we did what we did, I am still here. How do you deal with that particular aspect when people still relate you? They don't relate you to the businessman that you are. They relate you to that time. Is that your historical context?
One of the fundamental reasons why I built that restaurant, I just wanted to make that place a home of Sangomota music and other musicians that I actually worked with in the past. At times I would perform Huma Sikela trumpet, at times I would perform Tsepo, at times I would perform Sangomota, at times I would perform, Bayete and so on and so on. And that put closure, in my life so that I can actually move on, because I know it's going to be difficult. Remember, you still have to deal with families when you start saying, I am the owner of Sangomota music and so on. You still have to deal with the family. The family can still take an advantage of that and sue you. And so rather stick to your lane instead of saying, I am the owner. Yeah. I own Villa di Sangomota. I played a role in Sangomota's music. I love Sangomota's music. I will promote Sangomota's music. Let them have their package. Let me go with my legacy. I'll be leaving legacy.
That.
Yeah.
I love that.
So it's a 50-50 deal for me.
It's been a privilege to have you here, Moss. And one of the things I did ask them was for you to come in studio. Because I've also, and I have to tell you this, I have also appreciated, as I do on Power Perspective here, I do appreciate when people do listen and call in and engage, as you have regularly when the artists have been here. And I don't want you to stop.
No,
want you to stop.
I will definitely call.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been awesome.
And thank you very much for this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Rafilwe, thank you for coming in as well and playing the supportive role. Yeah, it's been a pleasure meeting you as well.
Yeah,
likewise.
I'm gonna deal with the wine.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna give you feedback.
Please,
hopefully you enjoy it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you so much for coming in.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.